Okay, we are gonna move down to same section, section five, number four. Five cases, 22-136 and 23-03, in regards to Maya Belfiata, BBM, monthly appearance is required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on compliance with consent agreement and other information presented, and may amend the ICA. Well, and thank you both for being here, and Ms. Solomon, you are the lead on this one.
Yes, thank you very much. Have you gotten the recommendation from the connection to the new counselor?
Mm-hmm.
And the appointment has been set? Pardon?
I saw my counselor yesterday.
Okay, and it's a, is it a LISAC, a licensed substance abuse counselor? If it's not a PhD or a, do you know?
I haven't been able to get her CV yet, I was trying to get it from her office.
Okay.
I think we'd be interested, Victoria would be interested in seeing that.
That has to be subject to the approval of Victoria, and that hasn't happened yet, has it? Pardon?
It has not.
Okay.
On this topic, we were hoping to use today's meeting to get some clarity, because the language in the consent agreement says that the counselor has, it doesn't have a specific top, you know, credential, it just says that this person needs to be able to provide counseling on relapse prevention. And then last meeting, you had mentioned that it wasn't supposed to just be substance use, that we were looking for like a, you know, a holistic, like counseling. She's supposed to benefit from the counseling a little bit broader. And that was just something that was said in passing. And so I didn't want to, when I'm trying to give her some guidance about what kind of counseling is appropriate, we have, these are the challenges we're running into, and so I just want to get some feedback from the board. It is a little, there are a couple of barriers for finding someone that will take her insurance, and then finding someone who will be willing to work with the board. And that, so we just want to make sure that when we're reaching out to make the connections, that we're understanding what the right, you know, what the right counselor is before we begin those processes. We have found someone. We are going to get, she did just have the appointment yesterday. So now that we know it's a good fit, we're going to get that to Victoria. But could you give us some clarification about what you, what the counseling is supposed to cover?
I think if you go to Dr. Keene's reports, his recommendations, we go, and we're getting updated ones. So I want to forestall answering that until we have an updated site evaluation.
Okay. My
Victoria, do you want to add anything?
Well, I believe that if you wait to provide any guidance, then that will delay her being able to comply with what you want her to comply with.
Well, what I am hearing is that it's the Keene report that is guiding the preference, and if that's the case, then we can absolutely go back to the Keene report, and then if another one becomes available, we can update that. But if, that's what I'm understanding, is that the Keene report is providing guidance for what the board wants her to have counseling address. Is that
that correct? And the consent agreement?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That is helpful.
You agree?
I agree. Thank you.
Can you tell us, are you working presently? What is an update on your work status?
I'm working under my mobile business.
Okay. How many appointments roughly are you seeing a week?
A work process is pretty slow. It's just.
Can you just tell me a rough?
I don't know. Maybe two or three a day for. I sometimes will have days where I don't have appointments at all because people cancel, or there's a lot of people that were sick over the holidays that I had to reschedule.
And what type of, are we doing vaccines? Are you doing in-home euthanasias? Or?
No, I'm doing more euthanasias.
Okay. Just kind of vaccines or
I'm just doing, sick animals, you know, vaccines.
I do have a couple of quick follow-ups. It seemed, and I would like this, I think the appointment with Dr. Keene is like in a couple of days for the updated psych eval, is that correct?
They could give you an update on that.
It's on the 19th.
Pardon?
It's on the 19th.
Yes, in a couple of days. Okay, great. Could we make, sure, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the board as well.
I received an email this morning from Dr. Keen saying that he is unable to schedule the appointment, as I had shared with the counselor, because he's still waiting on information from Dr. Bella Pianta. So I don't know if you're still aware of that.
My understanding was that it was still scheduled on 19th. He just had a cold, it was hot.
It's your responsibility to comply, so.
I'm trying to schedule, so I will contact him as soon as we're out of here and find out what, when he wants me to.
So in that case, then the 19th is not happening. Or if he gets the information and he has time to review it, then he will meet. I'm just trying to figure out, are we now kicking the can down the road again?
He's told me more than once that he has asked her more than once for information specifically and copied counsel on that request. But he's willing to do it. He's received all the information that I have sent and reviewed all the information that I have sent.
I feel like if this appointment doesn't happen on the 19th, I would be very disappointed by that.
Well, we have a consent.
You should have what, you guys have what you need.
Yes.
I know you keep saying you need clarity on things, but frankly, I think you have the information, you're just not sharing it, so.
So I actually have not been copied on anything that Dr. Keen has sent to her. Dr. Bella Pianta has forwarded me one of the instances of asking questions, and we did discuss that there was some concern because he was asking something that she felt was a legal question. So we did talk about what was appropriate to respond with or not. What I'm understanding is that Dr. Bella Pianta was not advised that it was canceled, and so we have to figure that out. If there's, like you mentioned, if there's an opportunity to give the information or not, and I don't know whether Dr. Keen is going to allow her to keep the appointment.
We have an interim order that says the appointment was to be scheduled within 30 days of that order, and I don't have the date at hand of that order right now, that it was to have occurred within 60 days of that order and report back to the board within 90 days of that order.
The 19th would be on track, and that question is whether or not that appointment is going to stand, and as I sit here today, I can't tell you yes or no, because this is the first time hearing that Dr. Keen is saying that it's canceled again.
I didn't hear that it was canceled. I heard that the problem was not receiving information from Dr. Bella Pianta.
Madam Chair, members of the board, so I'm looking at the email specifically. Yeah. He says I have yet to have an adequate response from Dr. Bella Pianta in order to schedule her. I've asked her several questions and emailed several forms I will need before I can get her scheduled and CC'd her legal team, but have not received the information back.
And I do apologize for not knowing of that email. He might be talking about CCing my assistant. I do try to not have direct contact with the evaluators as a general practice so that we don't get involved. So I was not aware of that email, but we can look into it immediately after today's meeting. And unfortunately, I don't have a satisfactory answer for you about whether he's going to allow that to continue or not. Today is the first time hearing that he's not going to be going forward after the last request for questions.
And this appointment has been scheduled for months, just for the record. It has been scheduled, it's on the schedule. He said it was gonna happen.
I don't care whether it happens within the time frame.
Well, right, because then it's further evidence that you've just been, he's been reaching out and you've just been dragging it along and stringing along, so that doesn't help me.
Yes. Okay. So at this point, just, to keep apprised if we need to have a special meeting for any reason on this, I hope we do, we need to hear pronto that you have responded to Dr. Keen and provided him everything he has requested. That needs to be done within the next week, max, okay? So, I'm not recommending at this point that we extend the rest of the timeline. You're just going to have to compact it.
Well, and I don't know that I even want to say a week, because if that giving her a week delays them from meeting the requirements that are already set forth, the 30, 60, 90 days.
That's right. Yeah.
Then I'm not okay with a week. Like, you know what the timeline is, and you have to figure out how to do it within the timeline. If there's a or the 19th doesn't happen, then I hope you can get it scheduled before the deadline.
And if it's.
And it's on you.
Yes, it is.
I'm not changing anything.
I wouldn't go to the. Yeah, and it will, as I said, it will, if it's not, that's why I added the caveat that if we need to have a special session on this, because the, when is the 30-day period from the interim consent agreement? Do you have that handy?
I believe it was on November 2nd that it was issued.
Was it issued? Was it issued? Was it signed by both parties then?
I think it was an interim order.
It was an interim order. So we're talking about the interim order that went out, I believe, the 2nd of November. And so if the appointment can be held on the 19th, we are still in the timeframe. It sounds to me like we have some information to get Dr. Keane today to make sure that we can see if that is possible. And if not, then she would either have to find somebody else to get approved or not. Oh, we would not be, no, now I'm saying that out loud, that doesn't work. So yeah, we have to reach out to Dr. Keane today to see if we can get back on track.
Victoria, can you remind me again what Dr. Keane's email said to you?
Yes.
It said, when I was finding the dates of, there, just to go back a step, the interim board order for evaluation was originally, is effective as of November 20th. Therefore, for the interim order, you are required to make an appointment within 30 days, which is December 20th. Extrapolate from there. Let's see, you wanted to know what the email from today said, Ms. Solomon?
Yeah. Did he say he can't do it because he doesn't have the information, or that, and he wants to reschedule, or, again, the responsibility, I cannot emphasize it enough, lies with you, and I think you're doing that from there.
She has to be seen within 60 days. That would be 120, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't happen on the 19th, I guess, so this is not happening, and we just need to take action. As of the 20th.
The email, Ms. Solomon says, again, quote, I have yet to have an adequate response from Dr. Bella Pianta in order to schedule her, and then goes on.
So it's technically not scheduled.
That's what I infer.
In that case, then we have a non-compliance issue.
It's been scheduled, though. We've had it on the schedule. That's not true. We can show you the email showing that it's been scheduled.
We did get confirmation that he was willing to hold the date, and then we were working with him to get the information to him. And so I don't know whether or not he has pulled it from his books, or if he's saying that he's going to have to. Like I mentioned, I have not seen that correspondence, but
he hasn't told me the points either, so I don't know.
So nobody's asked you for information that you're not providing.
Right.
I mean, why would he tell Victoria that's canceled without me? That doesn't make sense.
I'm not sure.
Why would you not respond to the information he's asking?
I have responded to him, though.
He does not consider it sufficient.
Okay.
And he has communicated that to you.
No, he has not. I mean, I don't understand why you are just believing him and not me. I have the emails of what happened.
Well, and that's great. I mean, I think if you have everything, then the appointment on the 19th should happen, and you, well, this is a moot point. But if you haven't been providing it and you can't get it to him by the 19th, then that's not going to happen, and you're going to miss your 60 days. So I think that's just up to you in the next 48 hours on what you can get done.
As far as he said, she said, Dr. Keane supplied the emails. And he said, you got emails back and forth to him. You haven't supplied those emails to us. The only way we know is if you show us.
I'm hopeful that we can get this resolved and it does become a moot point, but I do hear that it's a compliance issue if we can't hold the appointment on the 19th.
Yes.
Understood.
Yes. And we see it. A couple of other points I want to make, cautionary, because we're on some thin ice right now, so to speak, is that we don't have, not only do we not have that information for the consent agreement, but the history now, we're developing a pattern of problems communicating with counselors and evaluators, and that is elevating some concern. The other thing is that the previous counselor, it was you who dictated how frequently you would see her. Reading your own texts, it was not her clinical recommendation of how often. It was you saying in those texts, I can't afford anything more than once a month. And I think it has to be up to the clinician what they, and that's the recommendations we're gonna go by. And it's up to the clinician to recommend what kind of treatment, the duration of that treatment, the frequency of that treatment. Those are all important things we need from Dr. King. It's not, unfortunately, I know that kind of care can get expensive quickly, but it's not up to you and your finances to determine what the appropriate treatment is.
Okay, we need...
Did we vote on, we voted on the interim order, correct?
I don't believe that we have.
It's already been issued.
So we can't really do anything until we know if the appointment happens.
Right.
So we're just taking no action at this point. I would say, is there a way we can get confirmation that the appointment does happen, like, instead of waiting a whole month?
I would imagine you would tell us, wouldn't you, voluntarily?
I am very hopeful that I can send an email to Victoria later this afternoon saying this is all cleared up and the appointment is going forward, but either way, we will keep Victoria apprised in real time of what's happening.
Yes, and I agree with Dr. James. If that does not occur, we need to be prepared to have a special teleconference type meeting.
Okay. Thank you both for being here today. We are moving on. We are going to do section 3, informal interviews for deliberation and action. We are going to go to item number 6, 23-146, in regards to Laura Langman, BPN. This is the continuance of informal interview of December 13th, 2023, for the purpose of receiving additional information and reviewing possible action to approve proposed findings of facts, conclusions of law, and adopted. And let's see, Dr. Thompson, you are the lead on this. And I believe you stole, or you can look at that item too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We are on section 3. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Thompson.
Yes, so in reviewing the draft that was put together from our last meeting or full meeting, I'd like to propose accepting these findings of facts, conclusions of law.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And then in the matter of looking at what our next steps are, I'd like to get a history of previous violations.
May I ask Tracy or Annalise, can you look it up on the database? I did not get downstairs with that information. I apologize. I'm still looking
here.
So, let's see here. In 2014, Dr. Landman had a case that was dismissed, but she was issued a letter of concern. And that was with respect to medical record keeping omissions. In 2016, she was placed on probation due to malpractice, gross negligence, and gross incompetence for failure to use scientifically accepted diagnostic methods to evaluate a critically ill patient, not referring patient for immediate care or engaging in critical care for a patient that was dyspneic, failure to communicate the seriousness of a disease process to the owner. Also, ARS 3222-3212 as it relates to Arthur Levin 5019 for altering records. ARS 3222-32 number 18 as it relates to R311 901B for failure to submit a timely response to the complaint as required. She was placed on probation for 2 years, ordered to do 12 hours of CE plus a $500 civil penalty. Those 12 hours were 6 in critical care and or emergency in the area of cardiopulmonary crisis and 6 hours in ethics. Then there was 2020. That was, she was placed on probation for 1 year, had to do 4 hours of CE and medical record keeping and a civil penalty of $500. And looks like she was found in violation of medical record keeping. Those were all medical record keeping violations. Then there was one in 2021. Dr. Landman was placed on probation for 1 year to obtain 4 hours of continuing education in neurology and IVDD and was issued a $1,000 civil penalty. Then there was one in 2022. Where she was, the case was dismissed, but she was issued a letter of concern, and that was with respect to communication. For aftercare when placing a splint and ensuring that the pet owner understood that communication, and 2 radiographic views were essential in orthopedic cases. Let's see, 2022, she was found in violation due to some premises issues, and she paid a civil penalty of $5,000, and that was for a consent agreement that was offered. In 2023, there was a case that was dismissed, but she was issued a letter of concern for not complying with her consent agreement timely. There was one in 2023 where her license was censured due to a violation for failure to comply with a written board order. And then in the current one, there where she was placed on probation, there were some issues with failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures with respect to not performing radiographs, VD radiographs, failure to provide courteous verbal interchange, failure to maintain adequate medical records, and malpractice for failure to recognize free barium in the abdomen radiograph on an end, which resulted in misdiagnosis of a critically ill patient. And I believe that is it.
And so I guess I would have a question for other board members. In the event that we have someone who's already has their license under probation and we have additional issues that have come about, what is our normal course of action? We've got a long history of issues coming to the board and not really seeming to have improvement.
It's not a normal circumstance. So we normally don't
have this.
No, it's not normal.
When we've used fines and CE, don't demonstrate that you learned or changed your practice and behavior, as a result. I don't know what, you know, what effect doing more of that, more of the same.
We have historically limited the scope of people's practice. We have said you can't do surgery, you can't do these kinds of things. And we felt like there was a competence issue. I'm struggling with this one because I'm not as sure that I feel like it's a competence versus just a disregard.
Yeah.
But I would concur.
Overwhelmed, overworked, over, you know.
Because I mean,
taking on too much.
Right, and where we're at in the findings from this last, it was a lot had to do with, again, medical records, and that's something that we're seeing over and over and over again. So at what point do we say it's time to make a bigger step and do some sort of suspension of the license?
Right, and again, I think it's important in this case to really look at the history. This isn't just this particular
right.
case, but we have, you know, we have that ability to look and consider that when issuing, you know, disciplinary order as far as, you know, when we have just with this pattern of repeat.
Yeah. Right,
and with an informal, we can go up to 30 days.
And so I guess I would propose, since we are already technically on probation from a previous case, it makes no sense to put her on continued probation on this one. I would propose a 30-day suspension of license. I also propose that we would do 8 hours of continuing education, medical records keeping, and given that we've had significant fines in the past, $1,000 civil penalty fine.
Second.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second for a 30-day suspension, 8 hours CE and medical records keeping, and a $1,000 civil penalty.
So the 30-day suspension gets us through to complete the 8 hours? Or what happens at the end of the 30 days?
To practice that. Again.
So usually you do have suspension and probation, right? So the probation, you might want to give a year like you typically do to get through the CE and the civil penalty, or shorter because of, again, the history.
Okay, so she's already on probation. I guess that's where I was confused, because she's already on probation for another case. So we would then add additional probation.
Another year then.
Okay, so then technically if, hypothetically, because I don't know the dates of her previous probation, but if it was, say, June was when it was implemented, on June 24th, this year probation would go into effect, or it would be a year from today?
No, they move all each other.
Okay.
They're separate.
They're separate.
Okay, so they're back, they're not concurrently, they go back.
Consecutive.
If that's the way you build the order, if you build the order so that these are concurrent, so at the same time, so there might be some overlap, or consecutive, meaning that this one didn't start after the one that she's previously on. I don't know when she's targeted to end the one she's previously on.
And I guess another question I would say is, given that we're seeing very similar situations moving forward, do you ever put into the probation if there is another violation in regards to that type of issue, then your probation is violated. Is that something that has ever been done?
Well, and usually these orders say, and they have to obey all laws. I think it just, like you're seeing in this case, it's just an aggravating situation. I mean, she's got to understand that she's pretty close to her third strike, right?
Beyond. All right, then I guess I will amend my recommendation, make a motion to suspend the license for 30 days, have a year probation in that probation period, perform 8 hours of CE in the area of medical record keeping, and $1,000 civil penalty.
Second.
And so the way you just built that, this the probation in this case will go into effect when the order becomes final, which is 35 days, assuming, and it'll run concurrent. currently with whatever one she's currently.
It'll overlap.
Yeah, it'll overlap.
Okay.
Okay, let's go ahead and do a roll call on that.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Louie?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you, Dr. Thompson. We are now ready for our first informal interview. So we are down to number three.